Test 2. Now, open your question paper and look at part 1. Test 2, part 1. You'll hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B or C. Situation 1. You will hear 2 school friends talking. I'm dreading these exams, especially chemistry. She always sets a hard paper, doesn't she? Though she was pretty helpful when it came to explaining things, I just don't get it.
Chemistry is the least of my problems. What about history? Mr. Brown just leaves it up to you to find things out.
You're right there, and I failed last time. You, of course, will get top marks in English, as usual.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't done much revision.
I'm dreading these exams, especially chemistry. She always sets a hard paper, doesn't she? Though she was pretty helpful when it came to explaining things, I just don't get it.
Chemistry is the least of my problems. What about history? Mr. Brown just leaves it up to you to find things out.
You're right there, and I failed last time. You, of course, will get top marks in English, as usual.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't done much revision.
Situation 2. You will hear part of a radio talk. Your sister's latest book has been a huge success. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely delighted. Wouldn't you be pleased to have a Booker Prize winner in the family?
Yes, of course. But if I remember correctly in previous interviews, you have admitted that there's been a lot of bad feeling between you.
Well, there has. In our youth, we certainly didn't get on because there was a lot of rivalry between us. But that's all in the past. She's a published author now, and I've made a name for myself in filmmaking, so we're no longer in competition with each other.
Your sister's latest book has been a huge success. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely delighted. Wouldn't you be pleased to have a Booker Prize winner in the family?
Yes, of course. But if I remember correctly in previous interviews, you have admitted that there's been a lot of bad feeling between you.
Well, there has. In our youth, we certainly didn't get on because there was a lot of rivalry between us. But that's all in the past. She's a published author now, and I've made a name for myself in filmmaking, so we're no longer in competition with each other.
Situation 3. You hear a young woman talking about a school trip.
Well, we'd all been looking forward to this Austria trip for months. And when we got to Innsbruck, it was like a dream come true. What a beautiful city. Usually you become disappointed if you expect too much, but not this time. In fact, it was so good it was beyond all expectations.
No complaints at all then? Well, that's unusual.
Well, there were a few minor things. Someone's passport went missing for a little while, but we found it quickly. It was such fun to practice the little German some of us speak, and mine actually improved a bit, but I did find the accent difficult to understand. Well, we'd all been looking forward to this Austria trip for months. And when we got to Innsbruck, it was like a dream come true. What a beautiful city. Usually you become disappointed if you expect too much, but not this time. In fact, it was so good it was beyond all expectations.
No complaints at all then? Well, that's unusual.
Well, there were a few minor things. Someone's passport went missing for a little while, but we found it quickly. It was such fun to practice the little German some of us speak, and mine actually improved a bit, but I did find the accent difficult to understand.
Situation 4. You will hear part of an interview with a young pop star.
Of course it changes your life no matter what people say. For one thing, you don't have to worry about money anymore if you are sensible and you can do nice things for people. For example, I was able to buy my parents a new house. And as for the travelling, I just adore it. You have to put up with a lot, though. For example, things the paper might say about you. That you are a difficult person or that you take drugs. This sort of slander I found very upsetting at first, but I've learned to ignore it. But it's at times when I want to be left alone that I don't particularly like being a star. It would be nice to be able to go to a restaurant and not be recognised. Of course it changes your life no matter what people say. For one thing, you don't have to worry about money anymore if you are sensible and you can do nice things for people. For example, I was able to buy my parents a new house. And as for the travelling, I just adore it. You have to put up with a lot, though. For example, things the paper might say about you. That you are a difficult person or that you take drugs. This sort of slander I found very upsetting at first, but I've learned to ignore it. But it's at times when I want to be left alone that I don't particularly like being a star. It would be nice to be able to go to a restaurant and not be recognised.
Situation 5. You will hear an advert for a holiday in the Far East. I'd like to say a few words to you lucky kids who are off to Thailand, probably the most delightful place I've ever visited, and a great place for young people. First of all, I've always been a fan of Thai food, and like the Thais, I seem to spend most of my days eating from the thousands of street stalls and never had any stomach problems. Unfortunately, though, I chose to go in the wrong season. It was summer and it was too hot for comfort and I got soaked in the frequent rainfalls. So watch out for that. As for the people, they were friendly beyond belief and would do anything for you. Now, let's talk about Vietnam. I'd like to say a few words to you lucky kids who are off to Thailand, probably the most delightful place I've ever visited, and a great place for young people. First of all, I've always been a fan of Thai food, and like the Thais, I seem to spend most of my days eating from the thousands of street stalls and never had any stomach problems. Unfortunately, though, I chose to go in the wrong season. It was summer, and it was too hot for comfort, and I got soaked in the frequent rainfalls. So watch out for that. As for the people, they were friendly beyond belief, and would do anything for you. Now, let's talk about Vietnam. Situation 6. You will hear two friends talking about where to meet.
I'll be a bit late. I have to drop something off at school.
Why don't we meet there then? By the front gate?
I don't think so. It's pouring with rain. But we could meet in a little cafe opposite the school. Or, if you like, you can come round to my place. I'll be there in an hour from now. What do you say?
That sounds great. I'll stay here and drink my coffee leisurely and then grab a cab.
See you later then. I'll be a bit late. I have to drop something off at school.
Why don't we meet there then? By the front gate?
I don't think so. It's pouring with rain. But we could meet in a little cafe opposite the school. Or, if you like, you can come round to my place. I'll be there in an hour from now. What do you say?
That sounds great. I'll stay here and drink my coffee leisurely and then grab a cab.
See you later then.
Situation 7. You will hear a teacher talking to her class.
On the whole, I was fairly pleased with the projects you handed in, with one or two exceptions. It's clear you're taking your work seriously, which makes me very happy. My only criticism is that you seem to be relying too much on the internet and my handouts. I'd like to see some of your own ideas down on paper. As far as the exams are concerned, you've got nothing to worry about as long as you keep up the good work. On the whole, I was fairly pleased with the projects you handed in, with one or two exceptions. It's clear you're taking your work seriously, which makes me very happy. My only criticism is that you seem to be relying too much on the internet and my handouts. I'd like to see some of your own ideas down on paper. As far as the exams are concerned, you've got nothing to worry about as long as you keep up the good work.
Situation 8. You will hear a married couple talking about their daughter. Well, I suppose it's a problem most parents would like to have, Mary.
Yes, John, but it's still a problem. She's determined to get top marks in everything, and if something goes wrong, she can't handle it.
I don't know. I mean, she seems content enough to me. And she does take part in extracurricular activities, doesn't she?
But is she content? If she doesn't get everything perfect first time, she's in tears. I wish she would realise that it's okay to make mistakes now and again.
Well, I suppose it's a problem most parents would like to have, Mary.
Yes, John, but it's still a problem. She's determined to get top marks in everything, and if something goes wrong, she can't handle it.
I don't know. I mean, she seems content enough to me, and she does take part in extracurricular activities, doesn't she?
But is she content? If she doesn't get everything perfect first time, she's in tears. I wish she would realise that it's okay to make mistakes now and again.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two. Test two, part two. You'll hear a radio interview on bird watching. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentence with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two. We have with us today birding expert Alexandra Williams. Hello, Alexandra, and welcome.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me.
Now, let's start with the basics. Alexandra, what is birding?
Birding is just another word for bird watching, which means observing and identifying birds in their natural environment, either for personal enjoyment or for educational purposes. Birders, or bird watchers, learn to identify the characteristic feathers, colours and structure of different kinds of birds, not to mention their calls, typical behaviours and habitats. In the United States alone, there are approximately 46 million birders. Bird watchers normally keep detailed records of the bird species they have observed and of when and where they have seen them. In most cases, birders start watching birds in their own backyard and neighbourhoods. But as their interest grows and their ability to recognise the different species improves, birders start travelling to other states, other countries, or even other continents. They also often compete with one another, attempting to set records for the most species viewed in a certain period of time, such as a day, a year, or even a lifetime.
Can these lists of birds and places be of any use to science?
Oh, yes. The records themselves are useful, but bird watchers can actually be more directly involved in scientific research.
Really? How so?
Bird watchers from around the world actually take part in research projects as volunteers, and they help collect information on the health and various other aspects of bird populations. Indeed, such studies often provide the only data we have about bird life in particular areas during certain seasons of the year.
That's very impressive. So, how long has bird watching been around for?
Well, I imagine that there have always been people who enjoyed observing birds in their backyard, so the answer might be since the beginning of time. As for more serious bird watching, the kind that involves extensive travelling, I can only tell you about North America. It started in the first half of the 1800s with the discoveries of such American naturalists as Alexander Wilson, John James Audubon, Thomas Nuttall, John Kirk Townsend, and John Cassin. In fact, it was the publications of these men that paved the way for modern ornithology.
Modern what?
Ornithology. It's Greek for study of birds.
Right. So bird watching has always been motivated by scientific interest?
No, not at all. In fact, towards the end of the 19th century, there developed a trend for using bird feathers in high fashion, mainly for women's hats. Moreover, people collected bird eggs as a hobby, and certain kinds of birds were considered delicacies. As you might imagine, birds were being killed by the thousands, which brought about the extinction of many different species of birds.
That's terrible.
That's exactly what George Bird Grinnell, the editor of Forest and Stream magazine, thought, and that's why he formed the country's first bird preservation organisation in 1886.
Good for him. But I can't imagine many people being interested in joining the organisation when they were more keen to eat the poor birds.
Actually, the number of people appalled by what had been happening was so great that the organisation attracted more than 38,000 members in its first 3 months.
Wow! I'm very pleased to hear that. Now you'll hear part two again. We have with us today birding expert Alexandra Williams. Hello, Alexandra, and welcome.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me.
Now, let's start with the basics. Alexandra, what is birding?
Birding is just another word for bird watching, which means observing and identifying birds in their natural environment, either for personal enjoyment or for educational purposes. Birders, or bird watchers, learn to identify the characteristic feathers, colours and structure of different kinds of birds, not to mention their calls, typical behaviours and habitats. In the United States alone, there are approximately 46 million birders. Bird watchers normally keep detailed records of the bird species they have observed and of when and where they have seen them. In most cases, birders start watching birds in their own backyard and neighbourhoods. But as their interest grows and their ability to recognise the different species improves, birders start travelling to other states, other countries, or even other continents. They also often compete with one another, attempting to set records for the most species viewed in a certain period of time, such as a day, a year, or even a lifetime.
Can these lists of birds and places be of any use to science?
Oh, yes. The records themselves are useful, but bird watchers can actually be more directly involved in scientific research.
Really? How so?
Bird watchers from around the world actually take part in research projects as volunteers, and they help collect information on the health and various other aspects of bird populations. Indeed, such studies often provide the only data we have about bird life in particular areas during certain seasons of the year.
That's very impressive. So, how long has bird watching been around for?
Well, I imagine that there have always been people who enjoyed observing birds in their backyard, so the answer might be since the beginning of time. As for more serious bird watching, the kind that involves extensive travelling, I can only tell you about North America. It started in the first half of the 1800s with the discoveries of such American naturalists as Alexander Wilson, John James Audubon, Thomas Nuttall, John Kirk Townsend, and John Cassin. In fact, it was the publications of these men that paved the way for modern ornithology.
Modern what?
Ornithology. It's Greek for study of birds.
Right. So bird watching has always been motivated by scientific interest?
No, not at all. In fact, towards the end of the 19th century, there developed a trend for using bird feathers in high fashion, mainly for women's hats. Moreover, people collected bird eggs as a hobby, and certain kinds of birds were considered delicacies. As you might imagine, birds were being killed by the thousands, which brought about the extinction of many different species of birds.
That's terrible.
That's exactly what George Bird Grinnell, the editor of Forest and Stream magazine, thought, and that's why he formed the country's first bird preservation organisation in 1886.
Good for him. But I can't imagine many people being interested in joining the organisation when they were more keen to eat the poor birds.
Actually, the number of people appalled by what had been happening was so great that the organisation attracted more than 38,000 members in its first 3 months.
Wow! I'm very pleased to hear that. That is the end of part two. Now turn to part three. Test two, part three. You will hear five short extracts in which people are talking about looking for a new home. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list, A to H, what each speaker says about it. Use the letters only once. There are three extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part three. Speaker 1. What we really don't want is to live too far away from the centre and all the facilities, so we only want to look at property within central London. We know that the property in central London is very expensive, but we got a really good price for our previous house, so money is no object, especially since we are looking for a much smaller place. The old house had become unmanageable, especially because the garden was so large. But now we're down to one dog, so the smaller garden will do just fine. On the other hand, we've acquired a second car, so we'll need a bigger garage. Speaker 2.
John comes from a very large family, and they are always coming to stay. I don't mind them coming, not at all. They're all good fun and do more than their fair share of cooking and helping out. But the flat really is too small. I mean, it's very difficult having 14 people sleeping all over the floor, isn't it? That's why we're looking to move. I think the answer might be a guest house or a house with a very large loft that we can convert into bedrooms. We're both great fans of traditional style buildings and hate anything modern. Have you got anything you can show us?
Speaker 3. 4 years ago, we bought a house that needed a lot of repairs because we thought it'd be cheaper to buy it for less and have the repairs done ourselves. I now think it wasn't worth the time or effort it took. In fact, it turned out to be more expensive in the end. No, this time I want a place I can move into straight away, and I've got the cash to pay for it. My recently deceased uncle left me a large sum of money. Speaker 4.
Mark accuses me of being ruled by our pets. And I must admit, I wouldn't consider a house that didn't have a large garden so that the dogs can run around free. Now that our children have left home, we only need a two-bedroom house. We're looking for something near the coast, as Charles has finally bought his dream boat and wants to be within walking distance from the marina.
Speaker 5. I dream of having a tennis court or a swimming pool, but our budget limits us to £300,000, so it doesn't seem too likely that we'll be able to afford that sort of thing. Also, what with the price of houses in the part of a city we want to live in, we may have a problem. I refuse to take out another mortgage, and Laura agrees with me, so we'll see. Now you'll hear part three again. Speaker 1. What we really don't want is to live too far away from the centre and all the facilities, so we only want to look at property within central London. We know that the property in central London is very expensive, but we got a really good price for our previous house, so money is no object, especially since we are looking for a much smaller place. The old house had become unmanageable, especially because the garden was so large, but now we're down to one dog, so the smaller garden will do just fine. On the other hand, we've acquired a second car, so we'll need a bigger garage. Speaker 2.
John comes from a very large family, and they are always coming to stay. I don't mind them coming, not at all. They're all good fun and do more than their fair share of cooking and helping out. But the flat really is too small. I mean, it's very difficult having 14 people sleeping all over the floor, isn't it? That's why we're looking to move. I think the answer might be a guest house or a house with a very large loft that we can convert into bedrooms. We're both great fans of traditional style buildings and hate anything modern. Have you got anything you can show us?
Speaker 3. 4 years ago, we bought a house that needed a lot of repairs because we thought it'd be cheaper to buy it for less and have the repairs done ourselves. I now think it wasn't worth the time or effort it took. In fact, it turned out to be more expensive in the end. No, this time I want a place I can move into straight away, and I've got the cash to pay for it. My recently deceased uncle left me a large sum of money. Speaker 4.
Mark accuses me of being ruled by our pets. And I must admit, I wouldn't consider a house that didn't have a large garden so that the dogs can run around free. Now that our children have left home, we only need a two-bedroom house. We're looking for something near the coast, as Charles has finally bought his dream boat and wants to be within walking distance from the marina.
Speaker 5. I dream of having a tennis court or a swimming pool, but our budget limits us to £300,000, so it doesn't seem too likely that we'll be able to afford that sort of thing. Also, what with the price of houses in the part of a city we want to live in, we may have a problem. I refuse to take out another mortgage, and Laura agrees with me, so we'll see. That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4. Test 2, part 4. You will hear two friends talking about the sport of hang gliding. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer. A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part 4. I really envy you, Stephanie. You seem to be having the time of your life hang gliding every weekend. I'm seriously thinking about joining you, but I'm a bit concerned about the expense.
I hope you can join me, Rick. I'm sure you'd like it. Of course, you're right. Paragliding is not a cheap sport, so let me give you a breakdown of the costs involved. A top-of-the-range glider would set you back anything up to £4,000, but you don't have to spend that much. You can get a decent one for half as much, which is what I did. Or you could buy a second-hand one, which would be much cheaper, probably under £1,000. Then, of course, you'd have to invest in a harness, helmet, flying suit, boots and all the rest of it.
I suppose I would also have to take a training course, wouldn't I?
Yes, that's right. It's absolutely necessary.
Is it very expensive?
Well, it depends on your budget, doesn't it? I paid around £900 for mine. This is the one expense you can't avoid because you're not allowed to fly if you're not properly qualified. It normally takes about 10 days of flying weather to train a would-be pilot to club pilot level. But there are also two-day courses and a limited elementary pilot certificate is also available, which will let you take to the air.
Tell me about flying. How do you do it? How do you take off? Do you always need to run down a slope before you can take off?
No, not at all. You can take off from a level surface if you're towed by a winch or a light plane, which is what I did on my last flight. I was friends with the pilot, so I didn't have to pay a fortune.
What's a winch?
A machine with a heavy rope or chain for lifting heavy objects.
And how do you stay in the air?
By using the lifting currents of air. If you learn to do this well, you can stay airborne long enough to undertake long cross-country journeys.
This may seem like a silly question, but how do you make it go where you want it to go?
Well, first you launch it by running to accelerate it to flying speed. Then you relax into the harness while controlling the glider by moving your weight in relation to the control bar. Flying a glider is a little more demanding than flying a parachute and not quite as easy to learn, but a glider is capable of much higher speeds and better gliding performance and can be flown in stronger winds.
What do you like most about hang gliding?
Oh, Rick, where can I begin? I don't know. Maybe hang gliding at sunset. Oh, it's a fantastic experience, especially when there's a group of you and you take off together to fly for a couple of hours as the sun is setting. But I like flying solo too.
How about cross-country flights?
Well, some of my friends like them, but such flights take you a bit too far and you have to be airborne for a very long time, too long for me. Did you know that the British distance record is over 250 kilometres?
Yes, it does sound too far. Can I come with you next weekend?
Absolutely.
Now you'll hear part four again. I really envy you, Stephanie. You seem to be having the time of your life hang gliding every weekend. I'm seriously thinking about joining you, but I'm a bit concerned about the expense.
I hope you can join me, Rick. I'm sure you'd like it. Of course, you're right. Paragliding is not a cheap sport, so let me give you a breakdown of the costs involved. A top-of-the-range glider would set you back anything up to £4,000, but you don't have to spend that much. You can get a decent one for half as much, which is what I did. Or you could buy a second-hand one, which would be much cheaper, probably under £1,000. Then, of course, you'd have to invest in a harness, helmet, flying suit, boots and all the rest of it.
I suppose I would also have to take a training course, wouldn't I?
Yes, that's right. It's absolutely necessary.
Is it very expensive?
Well, it depends on your budget, doesn't it? I paid around £900 for mine. This is the one expense you can't avoid because you're not allowed to fly if you're not properly qualified. It normally takes about 10 days of flying weather to train a would-be pilot to club pilot level. But there are also two-day courses and a limited elementary pilot certificate is also available, which will let you take to the air.
Tell me about flying. How do you do it? How do you take off? Do you always need to run down a slope before you can take off?
No, not at all. You can take off from a level surface if you're towed by a winch or a light plane, which is what I did on my last flight. I was friends with a pilot, so I didn't have to pay a fortune.
What's a winch?
A machine with a heavy rope or chain for lifting heavy objects.
And how do you stay in the air?
By using the lifting currents of air. If you learn to do this well, you can stay airborne long enough to undertake long cross-country journeys.
This may seem like a silly question, but how do you make it go where you want it to go?
Well, first you launch it by running to accelerate it to flying speed. Then you relax into the harness while controlling the glider by moving your weight in relation to the control bar. Flying a glider is a little more demanding than flying a parachute and not quite as easy to learn, but a glider is capable of much higher speeds and better gliding performance and can be flown in stronger winds.
What do you like most about hang gliding?
Oh, Rick, where can I begin? I don't know. Maybe hang gliding at sunset. Oh, it's a fantastic experience, especially when there's a group of you and you take off together to fly for a couple of hours as the sun is setting. But I like flying solo too.
How about cross-country flights?
Well, some of my friends like them, but such flights take you a bit too far and you have to be airborne for a very long time, too long for me. Did you know that the British distance record is over 250 kilometres?
Yes, it does sound too far. Can I come with you next weekend?
Absolutely.
That's the end of part four. There will now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet.